Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres get ready to play their second of three against the Giants at Petco. And we've got Mike Grace in studio, who, if this radio thing doesn't work out for him, fortunately has a backup plan.
I'm not much of a drinker, but I do have a mixology license.
There you go.
So
you always have a job then.
Right?
As for Kurt Bavacqua, he's also got a backup career in place of misquoting some of the most quotable people in history.
As Yogi says, a big part of the game is mental. Whatever percentage of it is that he comes up with every time he says something about it.
You nailed that one, buddy.
Exactly. Whatever percentage it is.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Mike Grace and Kurt Bavacqua.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour. Baseball is 90% mental, the other half is physical.
You had to find a Yogi quote, huh? That was apropos.
So apropos, the baseball world mourns the loss of a legend. Yogi Berra passed away last night at the age of 90. And lucky to have you here, a guy who knew him personally, and blooper asked if you knew him. And you could tell by your reaction what kind of a guy this gentleman was.
I think gentleman is the right word because he was such a great guy. He was not into himself. He never talked about himself. He always talked about the other guys and always talked about the game. And you would never have thought he was as good and as big a star as he was. But a quick story.
This is the place for it.
Back in the day, when the games were televised on NBC and ABC, when they did a pregame show, they used to give us a check for $100.
Okay.
So I was asked to be interviewed before the game one day. We were playing the New York Yankees when I was with the Texas Rangers. Yogi was with the Yankees. Yogi also got interviewed. They did my interview first, and then they did Yogi. But, of course, you're going to stay for Yogi's part of the interview because you just want to listen to him. So he really didn't come out with anything outlandish that day.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about the ball club, this, that, and the other thing about the Yankees. And it was right at the beginning of the season. So they give us our envelopes. We're walking out of the left field line because they had all the cameras set up down the left field line. And Yogi looks over at me, and I'm saying hi to people in the stands. We're in Texas. And all of a sudden, Yogi goes, "Hey, Kurt." He goes, "They spelled my name wrong." And I go, "What do you mean, Yoke?" And he shows me the check he had in his hand,
mm-hmm.
and it said, "Pay to the bearer." Now, you can't think this stuff up.
Wow.
You cannot think that stuff
up. Have you told that story anywhere before?
I've never told that story except for one or two other times, and I think like in a bar or a restaurant.
Never
or
really publicly, though,
right.
or anywhere where anybody would have remembered.
It's
wow.
not any. You've never seen it in a book.
No, I've absolutely never heard that story. That
and
is so fantastic.
After a few years, you hear all of these stories about Yogi, and then you start thinking about him, and you start wondering if, in fact, he thinks about what he says before he says it. I don't think he ever did.
Of course
I
not.
I think it was just him.
Of course not.
Because you can't be that quick.
Oh, no, absolutely
when
not.
When you open up a check and it says pay to the bearer and you go, "Hey, you spelled my name wrong."
That's fantastic. And, you know, that's kind of the, I don't want to say tragedy of the whole thing because everybody knows him for these Yogi-isms and these funny things that he said over the years. But, I mean, you're talking about one of the all-time great baseball players.
Wow,
I mean,
it's amazing.
Three AL MVPs, 15-time All-Star consecutively, 15 times consecutively an All-Star, 10 World Championships with the New York Yankees. And don't forget, he was a veteran of World War II and received a Purple Heart. I mean, to me, that is American hero icon right there. I mean, Jerry Coleman, teammate. I mean, that whole era, those Yankees. I mean, this is just an amazing human being. So definitely going to be missed. Sorely missed in the baseball world.
You know what? He was missed after he retired. By just not being around all the time and not being able to see him. That squatty little body that he had and the big ears and the smile on his face and just knowing the kind of guy he was. you look at the records that you talked about, and it's not only the World Series that he got to play in because he was on a team, it's what he accomplished in those World Series on those teams with great players.
The greatest.
He has all the records. He's in the top, what, six or eight? Not even the top 10, below that, with all the records.
Basically all the World Series records.
It's crazy,
I mean,
the amount of records.
Hits in the World Series, appearances in the World Series. I mean, if you go down those lists, he's at the top of them all.
And I don't think that they'll ever be broken.
Probably not. Probably not in today's day and age. I mean, one, it would be insane for a team to have that kind of a dynasty in this era.
Or for a player to hang around that long.
For a player to stay on that team, man. So a different era, a different time. Sorely missed, Yogi will be. So good to talk about him. Got a fun show for you today. We're scheduled to be joined by Padres pitcher Casey Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really neat story of him coming back after, I mean, he hasn't pitched in the big leagues before his most recent appearance since 2012, coming off the Tommy John surgery. So excited to catch up with him. Also going to speak to Roberto Clemente Jr., talk about the son of a living legend right there, and everything that he's doing with baseball and his ambassadorship for baseball.
Can't wait.
It's going
to
be a lot of fun.
Can't wait to talk to either one of them.
Before we get into last night's game, we do have a special promotion here today. We're going to give away, correct me if I'm wrong, Blooper, two tickets and some Friar Funds.
Yes.
To today's game. Now, we're not even going to do a trivia question today. Today, it's like the secret phrase that pays. So the first person to come down to the Padres store, to our set, and if they talk to Blooper or they talk to moderator Becky, and if they say the phrase, Kurt Pavakwa's mustache, they're going to get the tickets and the Friar Funds to today's game.
Couldn't come up with a better phrase than that.
You really can't. There is not a better phrase than that. So the first fan that comes down to the Padres store talks to Seth, talks to Becky, and says, hey, Kurt Bavakwa's mustache. They're going to get some free tickets and Friar Funds to the game today.
That's going to freak some people out around here.
If people just walk up and start saying that.
Come running in the front door yelling it.
I can't wait until there's like 18, 20 people. Kurt Bavakwa's mustache. Kurt Bavakwa's mustache. I think it might freak you out a little bit.
Oh,
I know you worry about
man.
The Twitter folks showing up at your house.
You should have got a Yogiism in there.
Do you have a favorite one? Is it the baseball is 90% mental, the other half is physical? You got a favorite Yogi
90%
one?
Is half mental?
That's what he basically – well, he said baseball is 90% mental, the other half is physical. So the percentages don't
I
add
think
up there.
One of my favorites was one where he said something about he doesn't go there anymore because it's too crowded.
Nobody goes there
Nobody
anymore.
Goes there anymore because it's too crowded. That was one of my favorite ones.
That one, and one that's got to be close to your heart, he said, and throw that back up, Blooper, maybe it's on it, but it says, you shouldn't be thinking when you're hitting. Is it on there? No, I don't know, but he's basically saying what you always say, hitters shouldn't be up there thinking. Don't think about it when you hit. And that's what you say all the time, having been a hitter.
It ain't over till it's over. That's the one that he's the most famous for, I think.
I think so, too. And the other one that's somewhat apropos, always go to other people's funerals, otherwise they won't come to yours.
That's true.
So I would imagine there's going to be a lot of people attending the memorial service for him.
Oh, man.
But let's get into last night's game, and we'll start with Tyson Ross. And, man, he was electric last night. Now, in the end, you didn't get the result you wanted with the team victory, but he doesn't give up a hit until the fifth inning. He strikes out 8 of the first 9 batters he faced. And I don't know if we've seen him be better than he was in those first 4 or 5 innings.
Boy, he was pretty good, wasn't he?
Man.
It was pretty amazing. You just wanted to see him go on and on and see if he could strike out 20. I mean, it was almost that feeling that you had.
You really did, because you started to watch the pitch count because you're like, oh, my gosh. You know, 8 of the first 9, those are the things you got to do if you want to do something special. And you see the pitch count getting up there, so you start thinking about those things. But if he hadn't got his pitch count high and the team had a lead, I think he might have been able to do something even more special. He ended with 11 Ks, which in itself was quite a lot. Went over 200 for the season. The first time the Padres have ever had two pitchers throw 200 strikeouts in one season, he and James Shields. So, again, it's fun to see him still slowly blossoming into that ace that you're hoping that he can be next year.
those three out of four of those pitches that we just saw to four different hitters were fastballs opposed to the slider. As soon as he starts mixing that in a little bit more, that's when he's going to blossom into the pitcher that we all expect him to be, because he's got a chance to be something really, really special, not just the special that he is, but really, really special. Another level.
Another level, that true ace, that Cy Young candidate. And he's talked about how early in the season he had to make a lot of adjustments. The hitters in the league adjusted to him, so he's added a cutter. And it looks like a pretty, pretty sharp pitch that he's throwing these days.
Plus, he's coming in a little bit more.
Which you love.
Absolutely. Well, we all know you have to do that. I mean, if anybody doesn't have that through their thick skull by now, they might as well stop watching the game. You just have to do it. You have to pitch inside. And I'm not talking about hitting a hitter, or I'm not talking about throwing one behind a guy. I'm just talking about pitching inside like here and moving the hitter's feet maybe where he has to get out of the way. That pitch, that slider is much more effective that way. Plus, he goes outside with his fastball, and it makes it that much more effective. He's starting to really come into his own right now.
He really is. And we'll stay on the positive side of the pitcher's mound and talk about our firehouse sub of the game, and that's going to be Sean Kelly. Good to see him back out there. The way he left the mound his last appearance was really scary. He kind of gave you that impression like something was really wrong. Luckily, it wasn't. So he came in. He did give up a hit, but he did strike out the side. So really good to see him back. He is the firehouse sub of the game.
Mm-hmm. He did a great job, and to see him and the electric stuff that he had and knowing that he felt good about himself out there, that was fun to watch. It really was.
Yeah, so really, really good to see him, especially for him trying to build up his value as he goes into free agency, but good to see. Firehouse Subs, make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas. Chris Heston last night, he of no-hitter fame, was good but odd. He walked five guys, struck out seven, didn't get through the fifth inning. That's got to be one of those weird situations where you're getting on base, but you're not getting hits because the guy's kind of effectively wild. Is that probably the best way to put it?
Sometimes effectively wild is really good. And, you know, you see pitchers. I tell you what, Cashner's like that at times, and so was Tyson Ross, where they kind of – they're out of sync a little bit, but yet they're still not giving anything up because they're just wild enough where hitters are a little on edge and they don't know what to expect. And I think Heston was like that last night. He was effectively wild, but he was in a situation where his location was not good. So the boys jumped on a couple of balls and got some runs off of them, but then it just things just didn't work out the way – we all wanted to see it work out.
Yeah, he left with the bases loaded in the fifth inning. The pitch kind of just gotten high, and Justin Upton, Matt Kemp couldn't quite bring those runs home, even though Justin Upton did give the ball a ride to center field there and give him a scare that they might have put some big runs on the board. So that didn't quite happen. The offense really struggled against him as well as the bullpen. You had two singles from Solarte. Corey Spangenberg with a good night. He had the solo home run, a really nice bunt single, and then Brett Wallace again with another pinch hit home run. It's pretty incredible what this guy's been doing.
With the exception of Wallace and Spangenberg, I think the ball club came back with the Colorado Rockies stink.
Is that right?
Oh, don't you think that there were a couple of balls hit last night that all the players thought they were gone?
There really were. Yeah. Last night was one of those nights, the weather's been kind of crazy lately, a little more humid, even though they say the ball travels better when it's humid. But last night, for whatever reason, the ball was not carrying other than the couple home runs that we did see. And
Justin thought he hit the ball out.
Justin did. I think Matt Kemp hit one to center late in the game that he thought was out. There were a few balls that got petcoed last night. And, you know, hey, everybody's playing in the same ballpark, so you can't make an excuse out of that.
It's a true story.
But you also just want to put a good swing on the ball and hope for the best, and it just didn't work out.
What about the ball Spangenberg hit? Another high fastball.
Yeah, which is weird from the lefty, right?
Well, I mean, you don't expect it from him, especially on an 0-2 count. He did it in Colorado. I'm not really sure if last night's count was 0-2, but I know he was behind in the count. But he turned around a high fastball and surprised the heck out of me, and I'm sure a lot of other people. You know, it's not that easy to turn around a high fastball right up here with any kind of velocity on it.
Yeah, no, and a nice moonshot to get it out there on the Petco porch. So really, really cool to see. Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Casey Kelly. Talk to him about everything that he's got going on with his comeback. Really excited to talk to him and get his perspective. So going to be cool to talk with Casey. Petco Park will host its first college basketball game on Saturday, December 5th, as part of the Bill Walton Basketball Festival. The San Diego State Aztecs and the University of San Diego Toreros will compete on an outdoor court on the infield. Tickets are on sale now at Padres.com/bpaul. Taking a break, coming back, Casey Kelly will join us next.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padre Social Hour.
We're back at the AMR studios. Kurt Bavacqua, Mike Grace, and really, really excited to welcome Casey Kelly. He's joining us. He is on the Cholula hot seat. And Casey's had just really quite a journey to get back here to the big leagues. Tommy John, obviously, one of the toughest things to come back from. Obviously, the toughest thing for a pitcher for the most part to come back from. So, Casey, one, thanks for joining us. And, I mean, I guess just tell us how you're feeling health-wise and how is it being back here in the big leagues?
Oh, it's been so awesome. It's been such a fun ride this year to start out in Double-A and then go up to Triple-A and then get the call-up in September. So, kind of been all over the place, but you know, a big year for me to be healthy, make all my starts, feel good. You know, my biggest thing this year was just, you know, finish the season healthy and, you know, get better every day, and I feel like I did that.
The first time you took the mound, were you freaked out? It doesn't even matter what level it was, but the first time you came back, even though you stretched it out and everything felt good, you actually went out there and pitched in a game. Were you kind of freaked out a little bit?
You know, you're out for so long, so being in the game is different. You know, you think about different things to where before the injury, I was thinking about getting the hitter out. Now it's like, okay, is my elbow going to hurt? Is this going to be okay? But for me, I knew that I did everything I could possible up to that point to get me ready, and that that all that work and that dedication, you know, was going to overcome all the doubt that I had in my head.
When you had a couple setbacks in your journey to get back, and I mean, that's sometimes that's natural, sometimes it's not. I mean, was there ever a point where you were really freaked out that like you kind of redid it or something was really wrong again?
Yeah, last year was kind of the point where you know, I was on my last rehab start and everything was feeling good up to that point. The last inning, I threw a pitch and kind of felt it, felt some pain in my elbow and I couldn't really straighten my arm, and that was kind of a time where I was a little freaked out that, you know, I might have torn it again because I didn't really have that feeling through the whole process. And, you know, thank goodness that it was only a strain and just needed some more time to rest and recover and, you know, get healthy again.
So they actually – there's so many eyes on TJ surgery now that more people know more and more about it, whereas we didn't a couple of years ago. I mean, we had no idea. But they actually drill a hole in the bone, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty serious surgery.
Yeah.
You know, you think about Tommy John, oh, you'll be out for a year, you'll be back, everything's good. The surgery is serious. I mean, they drill a hole in your elbow to be able to tie that ligament in there and make sure that it stays there and stuff. So, yeah, it's a pretty serious surgery.
They need to be taking ligaments out of horses and stuff like that, and tying them in there,
making
really
them super strong.
Exactly. There you go. That might make a little sense. So where are you at right now? Do you feel like you're physically where you were back in 2012? I mean, is your stuff where it's at? Is your command where it's at? I mean, this is obviously a process to get back to being a starting big league pitcher. Where do you feel like you're at?
Yeah, this year was definitely a process for me. You know, I didn't really know what to expect, so I didn't really have any expectations coming into the season. I just know that I wanted to, you know, get game reps. That was the thing that I missed the last couple of years of being on the mound and having those game reps. So, you know, this year I didn't try to worry about numbers. I just wanted to be able to, you know, feel good with my mechanics, get my stuff back, and just get better every day. And I, you know, that's what I focused on. And I feel like, you know, once I hit the All-Star break, that's when things started to click and get back to the normal me.
And you're feeling like you're basically 100%, or do you still got a little more work to do to get back to your natural abilities?
I mean, I think you're always working to get, you know, either you're working to keep it or you're working to get it back again. So, I mean, right now I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling healthy. You know, throwing in Colorado in that game was awesome to get some game reps and things like that. So, you know, I think I'm ready to go.
that had to be a big help, right? I mean, getting a couple innings in, the start's going to be a little nerve-wracking on its own, I can imagine. But being able to go in a game that might be, you know, a little out of hand, but to get those couple innings, get your feet wet, that had to be really helpful, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, especially with having some time off from the AAA season to now, getting those couple innings, getting those pitches under my belt, I think it's definitely going to help me for Friday.
Plus, it was pretty good.
No, it looks great.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, starting back in Colorado, not the ideal place to come back when you haven't pitched in the big leagues in a few years, but to go up there and have some success, man, that's got to be great for the confidence.
As a player, it doesn't matter what position you play. If you worry about getting hurt, that's when you're going to get hurt.
Absolutely.
What is the mentality with Tommy John surgery? Do you think about it all the time, or you just go out there and you go, you know what, the hell with it?
That's the first thing, you know, for the first season back, I think that's what you're trying to battle mentally is, you know, getting past that point of throwing that pitch and worrying about the pitch and so much that is my elbow going to hurt. So I think just getting those reps and building that confidence to where now, like, that's not even a thought in my mind. And
great.
I'm out there just competing, trying to get hitters out and, you know, win ball games.
That's really good to hear.
You have to get to that point, right? I mean, you talk about, like, NFL running backs who have knee surgery. They can't be thinking about it. You have to go out there and just be a natural athlete or you're probably going to get hurt again.
Yeah, I think once you have that, you know, those couple outings where you're throwing the ball like you know you can and pitching like you know you can, that confidence builds. And then, you know, then the being hurt part or having surgery parts out the window and you're just another guy on the mound trying to compete and win ball games.
Talking to Casey Kelly, going to make a start this weekend. Do you feel like you're going to have a different perspective on being a professional athlete, being here with the Padres going forward, having been through this process?
Yes. I mean, I don't think I ever took the game of baseball for granted before surgery. But, you know, definitely having surgery and sitting out for those 2 years is definitely, you know, opened my eyes to really embrace everything and to know that, you know, not everything lasts forever. And, you know, I'm just happy to have a chance to be back here and be able to go out there and help the team win.
I'm excited for this weekend when you pitch because I've learned so much about this surgery and what you guys have to go through. I can't even imagine having to go through that stuff. I was so lucky in my career. I never spent a day on the DL.
Is that right?
In 19 years.
Not one day on the DL.
Not one
day.
Impressive.
That's incredible.
That's really, really impressive.
But I never played. I never worried about getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, sometimes you can go overboard with stuff like that, like Arenado jumping in the stands and doing the stuff he does. You just can't. You can't worry about it. You got to go out there and play hard. And, you know, if things happen, they happen. If they don't, you're lucky.
Yeah.
I got lucky.
Absolutely. I mean, before I had, you know, Tommy John surgery, I never thought about getting hurt. I never thought I was going to have Tommy John surgery. So, you know, I think I'm getting back to that point now of just going out
there
like and playing.
That's great. Well, good luck, man.
Thank you.
And what does the offseason look like for you? You're probably into not the rehab phase of your career. Now you can actually build and think about the year like a regular ball player. That's got to be pretty exciting too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited about this offseason to be able to have a full offseason to work out, get on a good throwing program, not have to worry about rehabbing or how my body's feeling, and you know, really get strong this offseason to come into spring training ready to break with the team.
Really good stuff, man. Congratulations. It's awesome to see you back. We're excited for your start on Friday. And best of luck as you're going forward. We really appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good luck, man.
Casey was on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Our thanks to Casey Kelly for stopping by Padres Social Hour. Coming up next, Roberto Clemente Jr. joins us. Be there then. Thanks.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Our thanks to Casey Kelly for stopping by Padres Social Hour. Really great to catch up with him. And equally excited to welcome to the couch Roberto Clemente Jr., son of the late Hall of Famer. And during the break, Roberto and Casey were talking, and Casey's dad, a coach, coached you. Is
correct.
That right?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes. Actually, Pat Kelly was my manager in Charleston, South Carolina, 1986, a couple of years ago.
So are you in PR the time now?
No.
Or are you in Miami?
I am in Houston, Texas now.
Oh, really?
Yes. I'm in Houston. I've been in Houston for 3 years now. And even though it's kind of humid. I like it.
We said PR.
Yes.
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Not public relations. Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. Yes. I played in Puerto Rico for quite a few years.
And by the way, people still talk about him. They love him in Puerto
Rico. So this is absolutely true. Kurt Bavacqua is a thing in Puerto Rico. He's
big
not
time.
Full of it?
No, big time. He's a big deal in Puerto Rico, no
big
doubt.
Big deal. Big, big deal.
I think we need to go down there with him, Bert.
We need to do a segment of Kurt in Puerto Rico. That'd be amazing.
That would be unbelievable. Yeah. Hey, so, Roberto, you're here. You were here last night. You presented Andrew Kashner with the Roberto Clemente Padres Award. What else are you doing here for baseball?
Well, I tell you what. I mean, being here, for me, number one, it's my favorite city in this country. I mean, San Diego, for me, is actually where to be. And when I retire, I want to end up here, number one. Number two, out of the three organizations that I played for, San Diego, for me, is the best. I mean, it's the best organization. Being a broadcaster for the Yankees for so many years and ESPN, going to every ballpark and dealing with different organizations, San Diego has always been a class act, and it's always been my favorite. So yesterday, for example, I mean, Feeding America is an unbelievable organization, and it was unbelievable to understand that organization, what it does, and for me it was an awakening, understanding the problems that one in every five kids don't know where food is coming from for them, and what they do, it's feeding all these families. It's something unbelievable. It's been really good to understand.
Yeah, so you went out with the Padres volunteer team yesterday. Correct. And did some volunteer work at Feeding America, I think sorting food and helping feed people that don't know where their next meal is going to come from.
Correct.
So, yeah, no, that's some great stuff. You know, and I think obviously probably that comes from your dad. I mean, this guy was one of the first athletes to just truly give back on that global level. You know, you were 7 years old when he passed away. Going to give aid. Did you understand at that point of life what this meant, or did you have to learn later his work ethic and giving back to the community and what that meant to the world?
It took me a while to understand. You know, for me, he was just dad, right? When the accident happened, I guess I was 7 years old. When I was nine, I started traveling on my own because mom couldn't leave us, so I actually took the role and was able to travel go and speak, and you know, from Congress to banquets to luncheons and dinners and receiving all these accolades that were meant for dad and for mom, and being able to gather all these stories from people and how emotional they would get, the impact that he had in so many people was overwhelming, for sure. And I started understanding, I mean, what he meant to all these people. So it was pretty cool.
I never got an opportunity to play against him, but I got to see him on television in the World Series. And I bought a condo at the Hit of Soul in East La Verde.
Yes.
And I used to stand on my balcony and I used to just look out. And the only person that came to my mind was your dad. And you know why.
Yes.
So how hard was it hard coming up with that name? Or is it easier now? It's much easier now having that name than it was when you played, right?
It's easier now because now I understand exactly what it means. Playing, I actually put a lot of pressure on myself. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the media, I mean, it was pretty tough. I remember the first day after signing with the Philadelphia Phillies, and the first day in spring training, it was a circus. It was crazy. I said, "What's going on here?" You know, it was insane. I'm like, all the guys are looking at me like, you know, really? I said, "I didn't ask for this," you know. But it's easier now because I understand that I can really leverage the name to open doors for organizations and being able to help a lot of the organizations and do the right thing, no doubt.
We're speaking to Roberto Clemente Jr. Talk about some of the work you are doing now, obviously, with your father's legacy and what you're doing, whether it's in the baseball world or just as a humanitarian.
Well, right now, my space, really, it may sound kind of weird, but I deal with brain technology.
Wow.
I end up in the brain space, brain health, human performance. That's where I'm at. I was treated at a brain center 2.5 years ago in Dallas, and it changed my whole life. Little did I know, I grew up impaired because of concussions, and I had suffered at least 15 concussions before high school.
Wow.
And there were certain things that I could not do. I mean, in school, I could not do homework. I could not do any paperwork. I couldn't do certain things. And I always wondered why. I knew the answers to the questions. I knew the subject. But I could not be organized. I could not do paperwork. I could not do a lot of things. It's because of the concussions. And by the way, I spend more time without breathing during the day because the part of the brain that sends the signal for me to breathe does not work because of my head injuries. And the 15 concussions were not sports related. I suffered more after I became a player later on. But I was just a kid, just doing kids' things.
Climbing fences, falling out of trees.
I was a big fan of Spider-Man, for example. So I wanted to be Spider-Man and Tarzan. So I'd be swinging around, and I would be hitting walls and all kinds of stuff. But we now know how delicate the brain is. And even for creating the awareness for parents to understand that even when you have kids in a room with pillows, pillow fights, you can get concussed, period. It's very simple. And I got most of my concussions because my cousins and I were trying to take our heads off with our pillows. Simple as that.
But really?
Yes. Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Yes.
And especially now, all that we know about brain injuries, and especially as kids, because the developing brain, any trauma can really affect personality and, like you talked about, learning disabilities and things like that. So this is incredibly important work that you're working
on
here.
Yes, I'm very excited because now we have a tool that you can play a game and you can establish your brain performance profile and be able to monitor your brain performance capacity. You know, and we actually named it the RC21X, Roberto Clemente 21X, as an extension of dad's legacy to help people. And very excited. I'm very, very honored and very proud that this tool is right now the only one that's out there that can do this.
Wow, really interesting stuff. If people want to learn more, where can they find out about this?
They can go to RC21X.com and actually go and take a look at it. And I think that even here in San Diego, there is an organization called Live Well San Diego, who I will be speaking to tomorrow, that 3.2 million people here in San Diego County are looking at it to be able to grab the RC21X and use it for brain health.
When you were growing up in Puerto Rico, where were you? What town?
Rio Piedras. I was right.
So right there.
Right there, yes.
So when you were growing up, when you were a little boy, because your dad died when you were 7.
Right.
Right before that, was he still playing winter ball?
Yes.
See, that's the difference between then and now.
Winter ball was so important.
Roberto Clemente was still playing winter ball a year or two before we all really knew who he was, because he really broke out, I think, in the 71 World Series. That's when everybody saw who Roberto Clemente was.
Towards the end of his career, basically.
Yes, exactly right. And it was so great that that happened.
And incredible.
And people got to see
him. Well, they got to be able to see 7 games on TV where he was hitting in Pittsburgh. And it's funny because, you know, he signed with the, you know, Brooklyn Dodgers. He was a Dodger at first. And people say, I wish he stayed. I was with George Lopez last week in Pittsburgh, right? And George is a big Dodger fan. And I said, George, you know that was a Dodger. He said, what? I said, he was a Dodger. No way. I said, I'm telling you, he was a Dodger. He almost cried, right? So I said, you know, it's amazing that if Dad would have played either in L.A. or New York his whole career, it would have been a completely different story. But 71 World Series, Kurt, you're absolutely right. That actually, people saw for the first time what he did day in and day out.
See, none of the Dodgers will tell you that they got rid of Roberto.
Why would they want to promote that?
or Pedro Martinez.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
They don't let anybody know that's
right.
But incredible, you know, he finished exactly with 3,000 hits, that milestone number, and obviously a tremendous Hall of Fame career. So what a legacy to live on and that you're doing now as you travel to baseball and do things like this. So really appreciate you stopping by, sharing your stories with us. Great to catch up with you.
Thanks for having me. And by the way, you know, social hour, I'm telling the girls, listen, you know, where's the pina colada?
We might be able to set that up. Veronica, you can take care of that, right? All right, we'll get you set up with that.
Thanks so much. That's a great idea.
You got Puerto Rico on the mind.
Puerto
you're
Rico,
ready.
You know,
you're ready to get your pina
colada.
I'm
ready for a little Puerto Rico.
Really good. Thanks so much for joining
Pleasure.
Us today, Roberto.
Thanks, Mike.
At Evans Tire and Service Center, buy two, select two tires, and get two free. With quality name brand tires and 16 convenient locations, why shop anywhere else? Visit evanstire.com, home of the buy two, get two. Thanks so much to Roberto Clemente Jr. for joining us. More Padre Social Hour right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padre Social Hour.
Really fun show so far here from the AMR studios. Got to talk to Casey Kelly and Roberto Clemente Jr. Really two great interviews, two great guys. Really fun to catch up with them. So that was really cool. And kind of getting over to Twitter, Douglas Nunez says, I remember Kurt Bevacqua from his playing days in Venezuela. Loquaz Bevacqua.
So that's a little loco, I think.
Loco?
Yeah.
So, all right, this is like getting out of hand. Like,
so I don't know exactly where he was, this guy. Maybe he'll tweet back in where what town he lived in.
Yeah.
Because I played in a couple of places, but the place I got into most trouble was Maracay.
Most trouble?
Yeah.
Blooper, like, this is going to be our off-season plan. We're going to figure out all the things that Kurt Bevacqua did in Central America and why he's so famous down there.
I want to go with him and film it and see the hordes of people following him around.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. It's amazing. Those people, you know, they love baseball.
Right.
I mean, that's their life. And if they have somebody, they remember. It really is. It's quite amazing. I was in Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic a couple of years ago. Playing in a golf tournament in Cap Cana, this place that I talk about all the time
all
to people.
All the time, yeah.
It's unbelievably gorgeous. And the guy that's the president of the whole place was the son of our team doctor when I played for Licey in Dominican Republic. He came up to me like he was a little kid again. And he's a grown man. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was so much fun.
There's a lot more to this story, and I can't wait to get more of it.
What?
Just the legend of Kurt Bevacqua in Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Dominican. I mean, I just can't wait to learn more. That's all I'm going to say.
You have to blend in. And if you're in a place where the people are a little crazy, you have to become crazy. I mean, Venezuela, these people are crazy. You know, they light fires in the stands. They're outward. They root. They cheer. They boo you. Well, so if you act crazy, they leave you alone.
Well, I'm not shocked that you fit in with them.
Oh, I did. It
you
was
fit
perfect.
In so well. Hey, want to remind everybody out there, got a pair of tickets and Fryer funds for tonight's game. All you have to do is come down to the set, say hi to Becky, say hi to Seth, and say Kurt Bevacqua's mustache, and you're going to get free tickets.
I can't believe nobody's
well,
shown up.
Well, they heard it.
Yet.
It takes some time. There's a transit to get down here. So
I see a bunch of people up there, but
maybe they're not listening. First one to tell Becky, Kurt Bevacqua's mustache, you get free tickets and some Fryer funds to tonight's game.
Uh-oh, here comes people running in the door.
There they come. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go over last night's replay issue because that was just an absolute nightmare.
God.
So we're going to touch on that next.
Guess who's going to go over it when we get off the air? I'm going to the umpire's room.
Oh, it's your boy Joe West.
Oh, yeah,
my
boy.
Oh, my goodness. All right, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Going to talk about last night's controversial replay when we come back right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show. Having a lot of fun today. And Douglas, just to answer your question, yes. I don't know if we want to get into it on the air, the statute of limitations and whatnot, but yes, Douglas. But we do want to talk about...
We don't have enough time.
Exactly. the ridiculousness of last night and the call. Stealth Amy, a Friar gal, she says, please spend some time on yesterday's replay situation. I missed the whole thing, and the tweets have me curious, cranky, concerned. You should absolutely be cranky about this. And Blooper, let's just go right to the Giants broadcast. This will explain exactly what should have happened in with this play.
I think he made it.
Yeah, I don't think he got it. Catches the ball, and I think he put the tag back down or tried to do it. I think he got air. I don't think he touched up.
So he's safe.
Yeah, I think that's going to be.
This will be the quickest call of the year.
Yeah, well, we've said that before.
No, it will be. You've been burned. That's going to be Upton's 20th stolen base. Never mind about the fastest call of the year. I don't know what they're looking for, to be honest with you.
I agree.
I guess the longer it takes, the better odds that we're wrong.
So there you go. So Justin Upton in the fourth inning steals second base. They call him out. And that's the Giants broadcast, Dwayne Kuiper. And he says, oh, that should be the quickest easy overturn you'll ever see right there. I don't think he ever tagged him. I did not see one single replay there where it looks like he actually tagged Justin Upton.
The only thing that I could think of is that one of the strings from the glove might have brushed across his pants. But, you know, you have to remember something here. And I tend to believe it or not, I'm saying this. I tend to believe Joe West and the umpires when they say they want to get things right. They know that the eyes, they're under such a magnifying glass right there. When he drugged the glove down, could have been where they had an angle that we didn't get a chance to see.
No, we have all the angles.
I know. It doesn't look like it to me either.
I mean, this one is just confounding. And I agree. I don't think they're trying to get things wrong. But obviously there's some form or some level of incompetence here that, I mean, the entire world sees that as safe.
Well, the incompetence here is in the New York.
I agree. It is not Joe West's fault. I mean, it is out of his hands once it goes to replay. But, I mean, this angle right here shows you how far away his glove is from his right foot. I mean, it's never even close.
The thing that's being overlooked here is the great slide that Justin Upton put on.
It was a great slide.
It really was. I mean, his toe hit the corner of the bag, and it was really a great slide.
The throw beats him, and I understand why Joe might have gotten the call wrong. But to not get it right on replay review, it's just bad. It's just so bad.
So I don't know whether to mention it when I go into the umpire's room in a minute because I know Joe.
I know you do.
And I planned on going and saying hi to him before the game tonight. So when we get off the air, do I ask him about it or not?
You feel it out and see how it goes. Let us know.
Am I media or am I a friend?
You're both. Hey, join us for Star Wars Day coming up. That's going to be on Saturday. Come dress in your best Star Wars costume. Purchase a special Star Wars ticket package and get a custom-themed T-shirt only available for the first 2,000 fans with a Star Wars Day ticket. Tickets available at Padres.com/StarWars. Get you the lineup and the head-to-head challenge when we come back right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Finishing up Padres Social Hour, presented by United. Going to get right to the lineup presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Will Myers back in center field leading off. Solarte, Kemp, Upton. Brett Wallace getting the start at first base. Jed Jerko at short. Derek Norris, Corey Spangenberg, Andrew Kastner in the nine hole. A little bit of a change from what we've seen. Want to get to the head-to-head challenge as well. Blooper won yesterday. He took Tyson Ross, beating the couch with Justin Upton. And Blooper has first pick today. It's getting right down to the wire.
Why does Blooper have first pick if he won yesterday?
It alternates every single day.
Oh, okay.
Simple equation.
I have a good Andrew Kastner feeling for tonight.
Andrew Kastner, he's taking the pitcher.
Starting to go with the pitchers now. All right, I see how you are. So we got a right-hander going for the Giants in Peavy.
Jake Peavy.
I will take Solarte.
Okay. Like the lefty bat there.
I like Brett Wallace a lot. I like the other guys in the lineup too, but I'm going to go with Solarte.
Final answer, he's Solarte. So Andrew Kastner versus Yonhervis Solarte. Cash coming off a pretty good start in Arizona. Gave up 3 runs over 7 innings. It would be nice to see him build on some success there.
Absolutely it would. He's throwing a ball pretty good.
Yeah.
He is. And I just hate to see a guy go into the season and then hear little rumblings that I'm working on things. I want him to work on things in the winter.
Yeah, well, when things aren't going well, you kind of have to. So.
In the winter.
Yeah. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Our thanks to Casey Kelly, Roberto Clemente Jr. for stopping by. Jesse and Randy are back tomorrow at 4:30. Enjoy the game tonight.